Hi, I'm Bobby Knoll, designer for Obsidian Entertainment.
And I'm Justin Renard, programmer for Obsidian Entertainment.
And you're listening to the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Dave. Eat the surf.
And I'm Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Sarah Palin.
I'm Cat Dragonstar, and I'm not either one of them.
And you're listening to the only
Neverwinter Nights podcast.
So, Skunk, what's happening? I hear we have an extra voice there.
Yes, that's me. I'm Katrina Dragonstar also.
You are?
Yeah.
That name rings a bell, Katrina. Where'd I see that recently?
Well, I'm the project manager for Sojourney, the Bloodstone Lands, and then just recently I won the Atari Sword from the Neverwinter Connections Con 4.
That's what it was. You're the name that got pulled out of the box.
Yes, and it was hard stuffing me into the box.
I still have everybody else in my box here. You hear that? That's everybody's name still in that box. I haven't emptied it out yet.
Clean your desk, dude. Luckily, this isn't the vidcast, so we don't have to see Skunk's messy desk. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dave.
No problem.
Yes.
Good to have a new
Welcome to the show, Katrina. Yeah,
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
I hope when you get that sword, you'll show us. We want to be one of the first people to see what that sword looks like, please.
Well, I promise. As soon as I get it, I'll take a picture with my BlackBerry or something that might actually show it, and I'll send it right off to you, post-haste.
All right.
Cool, and we'll put it in the show notes when we get it. That's not here yet, but, well, that'll be cool.
Yeah, the fellows at Atari told me that they were shipping out all the prizes from them around the release of Storm is Here, so that's going to be really soon.
Yeah, didn't they say that's going to be on the 18th of November?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's like, when are we really, that's mid next week.
Yeah, I think my family might get me the Storm is Here game for Christmas. Either that or a lump of coal. I'm a pretty hard person to buy for.
Well, then you just need to hold out for Storm of Zaheer.
Nah, I can't wait that long. I want that game. I gave away 10 of them with an NWC con, and now Trey's having a contest, folks, where we're giving out another Storm of Zaheer here from the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
I think they just have to comment or send him a message. So,
does that mean that because I'm guesting here today, that I'm not going to be eligible to be in that drawing?
That's
You're
a good
eligible.
Question.
You're
well, good, because otherwise I was just going to hang up.
Boop.
You won that sword. How much
I
more
know.
You want?
You're right. You're right. Silly me.
Hey, and I recently won the Vault Outfitters contest by default. I guess I shouldn't complain either.
That's right. This weekend is the last chance to get one of those Mysteries of Westgate codes. It's an open item, any item you want for the Frozen Rage set, the Vault Outfitters contest, and then they're closing up shop.
Yeah. Unless there's some miracle 20 people submit something.
Yeah, they might extend it at that point. Kind of been hard getting it moving along, but
I can't believe I was the only submission for that, because I put up a thing about like some fantasy odor eater shoes.
No, I read it. It was pretty funny, dude.
Really? Yeah, about like elk tribes, you know, like having such stinky feet that their women kicked them out of the tent and.
Yeah, it was funny. It was good.
Yeah, but anybody could have beat that. And really, folks.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is.
Well, actually, you're right.
Yeah, all you gotta do is just submit something to it. It's,
if
just
you had actually submitted
item.
Something and run spell check, you could have beat Skunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's y'all would have won the Mysteries of Westgate gift code when it comes out.
Well, speaking of these poor listeners, maybe we should get into some news to where you drive them absolutely bonkers.
All right, you have some news for us, Katrina?
Well, yes, I think I do. Let me check in my hoard here. I hear that Asher Khan was talking to Barry Ebersol from the CEP team, and he got to go on to Anacolia and see some of the additions that will be included in the CEP 2.2 release. He got to play around with a new body tailor where you could model and change your race, body type, head, wings, eyes, and tail. Asher Khan gave his half-elf some fire wings. Actually, that sounds pretty neat. I think I may have to go take a look at that.
Sorry, my brain's busy going, race, body type, head, wings, heads, wings.
What?
Anyway, 2.2 will include Weemic body and brownie bodies and heads. Didn't they already have that?
It was taken out and now it's getting put back in.
Ah, okay. Now I understand. If you play on Anacolia, go ahead and download and apply the latest patch and then get in-game and go to the Bree Boutique in Bree. There are two side rooms that have body models, one male and one female, and make sure you're naked. Make sure you're naked.
Actually, I make think Skunk to tell people yeah, that they're in.
You're my kind of gal. I like that.
That was really cool.
You heard it here first. You have to play naked on Anacolia.
There you go.
Actually, I've been there in the Bree Boutique, but this was pre-2.2 patch, so I did not get to play with the extra stuff.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, are there any other news items?
Well, I hear that Mike LM9215 has a pretty wicked list of NWN2 modules, nicely organized together. It's best to see it for yourself and check out the show notes. So scroll to the bottom and look for his post.
I could have swore that fella has submitted, like, organization bits of modules listed together, like, done by, like, different, like, settings. I wish I could find that again. So, Mike, if you're out there and you're listening, please say hello to us and hook us up with some links to some of your lists, please.
Yeah, we like your organization.
Yes.
Because look at Skunk's desk. It's a mess.
Yeah, all these beer cans.
So we already talked that SOZ is only a few days away. You excited, Katrina?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. If I've been kind of in working my way into Neverwinter Nights 2 here since we're actually thinking about building our own NWN2 server on Sojourney. So I've decided that since I'm one of the prime builders, I probably ought to take a look at it. So I'm excited to see this new world map that they've got coming out in this. I think that's going to be a good deal.
Yeah, I almost kind of wish that I'd have waited till this world map came out to start, you know, because it's going to solve a lot of issues, I think.
Well, that's kind of what I thought when I was looking at the at the preview and at the, what do you call that funny thing that's on the screen? I'm sorry, I just lost it there for a moment.
I don't know, I call it, I call it Bob.
Oh, when I was rerunning Bob, I could tell that it had some nice features on it that it seemed to me would fix some of the complaints that I've heard about too.
What?
Yeah, actually, it's doing some building for a PW Never Summer 5. Actually, they have a server, a Neverwinter Nights 1 server, Never Summer 4, and 3, and 2, and 1. And yeah, it's a whole different mindset because while the areas, outside areas, are bigger, they're also bigger on your hard drive. So you kind of have to kind of think of tricks to make your world feel as big, even though each area feels bigger. I don't know, it's tough. So you guys are going to make the jump, huh? You're going to run both?
We're going to run both. We're going to keep one server up and running as long as people continue to show up. And we've got a couple of campaigns on it that have been running for 2 years, and we expect them to go another two. But because the community has moved on to two in many cases, we're gonna try running a double server. Obviously not on the same machine, but you right. get my drift.
Yeah, totally. So you kind of keep the same flavor. Are you gonna like make it a different? I don't know, a different, like 100 years later, or earlier, or anything like that, or kind of just kind of.
We're talking about actually moving it back to our old original stomping grounds of the Silver Marches.
Oh, cool.
And twisting it around a little bit so that it's different. Silver Marches was extremely popular. And so we think we're going to go back there. Or not, as the case may be.
Right, right.
Cheers to your new server, Mama.
That's like Skunk. He means well.
What did you just say?
I said, that's our Skunk. He means well.
Well, I heard that part. What was it Skunk said? About being the nudist server?
Huh? Oh, yeah. I sometimes go to social servers.
Well, they still have players, so why not?
Yeah, I'm a player.
TMI, Skunk. TMI.
That's Skunk's middle name. TMI.
It is Tone.
Oh, that's the T.
Yeah, you know, you guys don't hate the player, hate the game.
Or now you got all this pressure. So
what is?
When are you going to release number two? Yeah.
What?
They're just looking into the idea of the new server, and we're already kind of pushing them to have a release date.
Oh. Yeah, well, from a quote from somewhere, I can't seem to quite remember where, but it'll be released when it's ready.
No, that's not computers. It'll be released 3 weeks before it's ready. Not a moment later.
Well, you know, as we originally fought with the original Silver Marches and getting it out, and, you know, we were kind of into that, well, it's got to be perfect. And another builder said, you can have the most perfect world in existence, but if nobody's playing in it, why are you bothering?
That's the tree falls.
Get it out. He said, get it out, and you will always be fixing it. And he was right. We're still fixing it.
Once you start designing in Neverwinter Nights 2, you can make it perfect, and that's actually part of the problem, is because we're not a team, you know, huge teams of software companies. We're just a few people trying to put something out.
Right.
But we've got this tool that you can make it perfect. You know, with Neverwinter Nights 1, you could say, well, you know, I can't make that cliff any better. That's the cliff. Yeah, but with two, you can. Oh wait, I need a rock right over here, and just upturn it a little and down. You know, you can tweak forever. So,
I still gotta tip my hat to these groups like BioWare and Obsidian for pulling off these great games, though.
Definitely, that was actually in there too. We were talking about how, that thread was started because they were asking the community what they wanted. I mean, it's amazing that kind of support.
Yeah. And all the things that go into making these games, I know it's just beyond my grasp. And hopefully maybe in our interview coming up, the fellows could enlighten us something on that.
That's right. Yeah. You've got a very nice interview coming up from what I hear.
Yes, we have Bobby Knoll Jr. and Justin Reinhard, designer and programmer, both for Storm of Zaheer.
Yeah, and Liso does that. Always a good interviewer.
Yeah.
So maybe we should get to the interview.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
Okay.
Me too.
So without further ado, here's Liso.
Tonight we have Bobby Knoll and Justin Renard with Obsidian Entertainment, and we will be talking about The Storm of Zaheer. What did you all set out to accomplish when you started SOZ?
I think I'll take that one. This is Bobby. First and foremost, with the original two titles, Neverwinter Nights 2 and, of course, Mask of the Betrayer, those were a little bit more linear storylines. We definitely wanted to open up the sandbox a little bit and let the players decide what their story was going to be. Starting with the Overland map, that was definitely opens up what you can and can't do by just wandering. And if you decide that you don't want to follow the linear storyline, you can pretty much do whatever you want to do, go off and explore the jungles or start trading, things of that nature. So it's definitely a more open-ended experience.
What are some of the major challenges with creating an expansion pack?
I guess I'm chiming in on that one as well. Well, first and foremost would be that, budgetary limitations that you would have just due to the fact that it's not an original title anymore, or the opening title anyways. The major challenges with this particular expansion pack was that we didn't just put out, standard content. A lot of expansion packs will have, just some new items, some new adventures, maybe a few new creatures, and that's pretty much it. We really went above and beyond with the creation of the Overland map, revamping the entire trading or the entire crafting system, adding in a new party conversation system. So these things are typically there's typically not done on an expansion pack. We definitely didn't play it safe. We were very pretty ambitious with this. So I think just being as ambitious as we were with this title and being a second expansion pack, I would imagine that's probably what the biggest challenges were. We're, as big as we made this game, was just trying to rein it all in and get it finished and polished and looking good.
Well, I'll chime into the fact we have a very small team compared to the makings of the other games, and we have very big dreams of what we want it to become since we've done the first two games in the series. So we know a lot more that we want to do and a lot more that we can do, but we just may not have the manpower to accomplish it. That's definitely a big, stressful time for making an expansion pack because we want to make it as big as possible. And I think we did a pretty good job.
There's another thing I'd like to mention too. One of the other main challenges that we have is that there are a lot of things that community members really would like to have in the game. And we, believe me, just about every request we look at, and as designers and programmers, we wish that we could get everything in the game that every fan wants. But at the same time, we want to be able to offer new content and not just fix older things or tweak a little bit this, a class here or a class there. Those are all things that would be great. But for a Dungeons & Dragons game particularly, there's so many different variables that can't happen, that and the user experience is always so different with having different classes and different gear and all the different variables that could account for it. We it's hard to look past all those little things that we'd love to do, and then go out and bring new content into the game, new big features, and balance fixing what we can fix in the past, and then also, of course, adding a lot of new fun content.
Bobby Knoll, could you tell our listeners what you do at Obsidian and what your job entails?
Well, first thing I do is I show up in the morning and I get some coffee. I'm a designer here. I'm a junior designer here at Obsidian. I've been working on Storm of Zaheer for, I don't know, the last six or seven months. there's certain modules that we have in our game. That's the way we break up how the game is worked on. Certain designers are in charge of certain modules, and then there's also other systems that that designers are in charge of. I myself am in charge of what we call Module S, which is the port last module, and I am also in charge of the crafting system and loot.
Ooh, loot. I call that pixel crack. I've said it on the show before and nobody yelled at me, so it's all good.
All right.
Justin, would you like to explain what you do for Obsidian?
Yeah, I come to work and share an office with Bobby, but I'm a programmer. I've been here for about 6 months, and I've been working on the classes, the feats, the spells, and general bug fixes that are going to go in the game and future patches.
Fantastic. And you didn't get the cup of coffee in the morning?
No, I always get the cup of coffee in the morning.
I think I get the cup of coffee before I even walk out my door.
Yeah, that's kind of like the joke here with us is the first guy that gets coffee, the other guy always seems to ask, hey, is the coffee ready? So and then the next one goes running out the door. So.
Okay, I hope that this next question is not offensive.
I'm already offended.
Well, you guys should have questions. don't be offended. However, a lot of inquiry minds would like to know because of, you know, future prospects coming out. With new games coming out such as Dragon Age creating a lot of interest, what should be done after the expansion pack to make sure that Neverwinter Nights 2 keeps and holds its community strong?
I can chime in on that one as well. This is Bobby. Well, first and foremost, I definitely think that the Overland map system is going to be, it's accessible to the entire community. 95% of it is done via script, so it's definitely something that the entire community can dig into and create worlds as big as they want to. That would be what I would think first and foremost should really keep Neverwinter Nights 2 alive, was just that there's the sky is pretty much the limit now as far as what you can do, and making large areas, persistent worlds, I think will definitely benefit from this overland map system because it gives you something to do. It's a game within a game. You're not just wandering on an overland map just to get from point A to point B. There's actually a lot of things that can be done that we've done in Storm of Zaheer to add content and fun content as you're traveling in between locations. You know, previously these were things that was just a click and there was nothing there. It was a big dead space with nothing to do. But now with the overland map added, I definitely think that the community, we want to see what the community can do. We want to see what they can go out and come up with and improve on what we've done and make their persistent worlds and or their modules, you know, as good as they can be. I look forward to playing what the community comes up with.
And of course the community is going to come up with a lot of stuff and they're going to try things that we never even tried, and to help with you said the future of Neverwinter Nights 2, the community is definitely the future. Even if whether or not there are more Neverwinter products in the franchise, there will always be people making community things, and we will hopefully be supporting any problems that arise through patches, adding in new functionality, new features and everything to make sure that the community can make the best kind of stuff that they can make.
Also, since we're speaking about community, I would like to also talk a little bit about the new crafting system, just because that also is 100% editable by the community. So we've added some functionality that makes crafting items a lot more user-friendly for the environment, the crafting system, and not only for the community, but also for the actual player that wants to craft something in-game. Before, we had a system that was in place in the original campaign that was probably a little bit too difficult, a little bit too time-consuming, and then in Mask of the Betrayer, we definitely scaled that back, and it maybe was a little bit too easy. So we hope we found the perfect mix, and from our playtesting here at the office, everybody seems to like it so far and really enjoy crafting. But like I said, what's nice about it is all these things are editable by the community, so there could definitely you could actually base quests around things like crafting in the community. You could have it's location specific. You could have where you have to go to Mount whatever and craft the great axe of flaming goodness. I don't know. I'm just making things up right now, but you see what I'm saying? Is there's just a lot of functionality that the community can come up with on their own.
You do name your own crafts, right, Bobby?
And absolutely, yeah. You do name your own when you're enchanting an item. You can name your own weapons and whatnot. But that's more of an in-game thing. I'm speaking more on the terms of the, what the community can do and setting up whatever crafting systems that they want. And again, using those in a persistent world or in a standalone module. I think there's a lot of things that some creative minds could come up with.
Great. I know that the crafting system is a big deal for a lot of people. I am honestly just a complete crafting moron. I just take the stuff that drops and use it, and I'm quite happy that way. But I don't think it's laziness. I think it's just that I don't want to get into all that. I just enjoy the story and running around, and I'm a nomad in the games.
You know what? I'm actually the same way that you are typically as a player. So it was a little bit of a challenge for me, obviously, to work on the crafting system just because as from a player's standpoint, I'm not usually the crafting type. But again, that's hopefully where the ease of use comes in for crafting because as a player, I'm not a big crafter. And, at, you know, going through play tests and whatnot, I've found that crafting is pretty fun. And there's definitely a sense of accomplishment when you craft something and name your own weapon and do your own thing that way. But again, that's one of the reasons why, the Neverwinter Nights 2 titles are so great is that if you don't want to, it's not a requirement. If you don't want to be a crafter and you want to, you know, your play style is that you want to go out and just survive off the items that you find and make do and learn how to have your party be the most optimal with the equipment that you do find, that's a valid play style as well. So
I'm glad that I'm valid.
Yeah.
And the explorer type will really like the overland map. Like I like crafting and all, but I am more of an explorer, finding that weird out of the way location that most people never find. And there's a ton of that on the overland map and a ton of potential for people to make new overland maps that do the same thing.
Well, it was a big joke. I have obsessive clicking disorder, apparently. Obsessive compulsive clicking disorder. I click everything. I find every little nook and cranny there is to find. I sometimes get myself stuck, but I find it still worth it in the end because I'm a total explorer when it comes to games like this.
Yeah, the exploration in this title you should definitely be happy with just because there's a lot more of it.
Okay, we have a handful of community questions that I selected from our website. I do this often when we have, you know, the bigger interviews. I do ask the community for their input and their questions. And first one, Jason Roy, J-Clef, in the community. He was your Neverwinter Nights 2 module winner contest, by the way.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Are there any significant improvements or changes made to the tool set?
Who's chiming in there, me or you?
Well, there was one change that we did specifically for that something that's been troubling us for a while with the price of items. What was the Bobby
knows? We had an issue then. To be honest with you, I wasn't even made aware of it until I started getting into the crafting system that we had a problem with pricing in the tool set that the old code definitely decides, you know, what enchantment or what property is on an item, and it does its own math and comes up with a number. Unfortunately, the toolset wasn't displaying that number properly, and that made crafting and pricing out the new crafting system pretty difficult. So we went back and we fixed that, and I'm assuming that from what I had heard from other people here in the office that's been a community problem for quite a while, and I could see how that would be a problem. So that's definitely been taken care of. The new party conversation system, I know that's implemented right into the tool set, and it's just a new type of conversation. That's a checkbox there, so I know that's new functionality. We're always trying to improve the tool set, and those are the things that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, second question from Jason Roy also. When, if, can we expect stealth animation? Yeah, these are from builders, by the way, so I think you can tell by the questions.
Justin's itching to answer that one, so I'll let him go.
Well, I just know that everyone's been really excited to see the stealth animation, and I know we've actually had the animations made, and they look really good. But I think, I don't know how to word it exactly. I think we could expect to see the stealth animations really very, very soon. End of November.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, they're definitely in for Storm is Here, so
you're gonna have builders jumping for joy.
Yeah, We were playing during our playtests and with the new stealth animations in, and going into first-person mode and stealthing around in the dungeons in our new beautiful environments. And I have to give our artists a lot of credit. I know that's not on the part of this question, but the environments are definitely a step above what we did in Mask of Betrayer. So, but stealthing around in first-person mode in these new beautiful environments is just a blast.
Well, don't worry about going off the beaten path on the questions. That's very common. And actually, the more you want to input, the happier people get. So if you have, like, something you want to say that veers off of, you know, the direction we're already in, don't worry about it. I'm really easygoing. I would sit here and listen to whatever you have to say.
I would just like to say, like what Bobby was saying, that Jay, Roger, and Scotty are main artists on the project, did a really phenomenal job on all the animations and the artwork and the icons. I mean, they worked their butts off to make this game look as beautiful as it can.
Yeah, I personally have seen more than one of the artists here working 12 and 13 hours a day just to get cranked. We all love this engine and this game so much that, you know, they could easily have gone home and not tried to go the extra mile, but they definitely did, and it definitely pays off, and you can see the hard work and the love that went into their areas at the, you know, when you see the title.
Well, I loved Mask of Betrayer. I played it. Okay. You know what? People just laugh at me for this. I'm getting used to it. I played it 5 times.
Nice.
And I played the OC 9 times because I had to get, like, every flavor. You know, different sexes, different classes, everything else. And I told you I'm obsessive.
Well, actually, that's what's so beautiful about our new party creation system. I had the same issues as a player. I've only been with Obsidian, like I said, for about 6 months now. So when Mask of the Betrayer first was released and the original title, I was just like you. I was a fan that was playing the games and certain things I loved and certain things I didn't love so much. But one of the things that always kind of bothered me, was that you could only make one player, and there were so many options as far as classes and prestige classes and whatnot. And unless you do want to go through like you did, but, unless you do go through and replay the game 4 or 5 times, there's just so much, tactical choices and flavor choices that you're just never going to get. Whereas with Storm as a Here, you get to make your own party. If you dreamed about making that, you know, prestige class that you just couldn't figure in to the single player character that you get to make in the first 2 titles, it's a lot more viable now, and it's a whole lot of fun to just min max your party out and come up with whatever crazy combination you think you can do.
The next community question, this is by Star Wars. I think he is that on BioWare forums as well as the Vault. What cool stuff is in the works for patches after Storm of Zaheer gets out?
I'm going to let Justin go with that one.
Yeah, we're always working on future improvements to anything we can do with the game. We have our own internal list of things we're working on, as well as stuff that the community submits to us, and via, you know, through email or on the message boards, the IRC channel, or any of the ways that we interact with the community. As to specifics, it's always being planned, so don't know for sure, but I'm sure that there will be... Do we have a number of how many patches we're doing, Matt? Do we know how long we're... I don't know. I mean, we're going to be patching for quite some time, so we'll be fixing things as they arise. Yeah, one of our main community members, Grinning Fool, has been working on the auto-downloader system, which when you connect to the online... if you don't know, when you connect to the online worlds or modules, persistent worlds, whatever, it will automatically download hack packs and custom content and everything before character creation so that you don't have to manually download them and install. It'll make connecting to persistent worlds and modules a lot easier.
That will be nice.
Yeah, as a player, I've downloaded my share of user-made content, and it would be a lot easier. It'll make life a lot better when this auto-patcher comes out. Auto installer.
Okay, we have another question from Star Wars. Is there any form of engine optimization or enhancements for SOZ like how the Mask of the Betrayer patch did?
We're always optimizing our engine. It's an ongoing project. So everything that we do is always about optimizing, whether it's in our design theory, whether it's in our art. Art has been very good about, creating beautiful areas and beautiful art assets without taxing the engine. So we are always thinking about optimization and having the game run as smoothly as possible. So and that's all I have to say about that.
Another question from Star Wars. He was a very inquisitive person.
I guess so.
Yes. With the knowledge they have now, what would they have done differently in the development of Neverwinter Nights 2?
Oh, wow.
I think we were talking about it this morning, we definitely have wanted to do the Overland map for a long time, and it brings so much to Storm of Zaheer. I think it could have brought so much to both of the previous games to have the exploration aspect put in there, and I wish we would have had the time and resources to get that put in.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm sure that Storm of Zaheer is pretty much a compilation of all the knowledge that's been acquired here at Obsidian to make the game that we're making today. If we had two titles before, if we had two Neverwinter Nights 2 titles before the original title came out, we would have learned a lot before then. So the original title was very story intensive. Some of it was really, really good. We think our game was great, but there were a lot of things that were maybe too time intensive that went into that game. That I don't want to. Maybe we didn't get our bang for our buck on certain things. So Storm of Zaheer is just a lot less linear, and I think that's probably the overriding thing that we wish we could have incorporated a little bit more into the original campaigns, is that just giving the player a little bit more freedom to do what they want and how they want it.
Great. Okay, we have a question from E.C. Pedersen, which I believe he is part of Gaming Parent Studios. And he says, this is a long one, does the new party conversation system represent a lot more work for hobby builders who wish to implement it in their mods, as in complexity in setting up the convo, obligation to and add more conversation options?
I guess I can answer that one because I've worked with the party conversation system pretty extensively being a designer. There's a little bit more time that it would take as you're adding, because you're going to definitely want to add in more nodes for varying options. So that on that side of it, you definitely will have a little bit more work to do, depending on how complicated you want to make it. Setting up a conversation in the party conversation system is exactly like writing a conversation in a normal conversation, but one of the things you want to think about from a design aspect is, you know, are you putting diplomacy nodes in there? Or there's going to be intimidate. The hardest part, honestly, about writing a conversation, the party conversation system, is when to stop. There's a lot of times when you're writing a regular conversation for a linear aspect that it's pretty easy. It's cut and dry. You know what you want to happen, and you pretty much write it, and you're done. But it's funny when you start writing for a party conversation, all of a sudden you start thinking about all these different things. Or what if there's an orc in the party? And then it's really easy to go off on a tangent, you know, with where this conversation is going to go. Or what if there's a human monk in the group? Or what if the group is evil? Or there's all these different things. So it's pretty much up to the designer. From a technical aspect, is it any more difficult? Not really. It's just pretty much as far as how far you want to let your imagination take the conversation. And then from there, if you do get out of control with it, to make sure that you can rein that all back in and make the conversation actually work in game.
If it's not blatantly obvious, you can tell that Bobby's modules have some pretty extensive dialogue options in there. I've seen them. They're pages and pages of options and different things that can pop up depending on who's in your party.
Yeah, I did get a little out of control on a few of them, I will admit.
And I love options. It's good. It works for me.
I would like to also say Anthony Davis, who did our party conversation stuff, he did a really awesome job on that, and I just want to make sure he gets some recognition for that because it brings a whole lot to the game.
Hey, drop all the names you want. It works. Okay, we have a final question from the community, and this is from – I know I'm going to butcher this. Dunny Towel. He is a moderator on the BioWare forums. Are we going to see more possibility of a new and revised Granny exportation plug? Expatron?
Expatron.
Okay, cut here. Granny Expatron plugin that will support Max 9 and or 2008?
That one we actually can't comment on at this time.
Okay. Sorry, Donnie.
Sorry, Donnie.
That's all right.
If I don't know if Rory has anything to say on that question, no. Okay.
Nope.
Just can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
All
right.
Rory put his foot down.
Sorry, Donnie. You know those NDAs. Okay. Would you guys have any last comments?
Yeah. I've actually been playing D&D in various forms, whether in video games or I've got a pretty big background in pen and paper over the last 20 years. And to be quite honest with you, I think that Storm is Here is incredible. It's just a whole lot of fun. Everybody here in the office is just having a blast playing it, and I think that everybody should go out and pick it up.
Yeah, I also have not been playing D&D for a long time. For pen and paper, I played other RPGs and growing up. And
let me interrupt you. We're the complete opposite spectrum here. I am the total D&D nerd and been doing this thing for a long, long time. Where Justin is just really, he hasn't really been into D&D, so he's the new guy that maybe would go out and pick up this title and try a D&D game for the first time. So I think that's a good distinction for me to make here before I let him continue on. Sorry, Justin, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been working on this for about 6 months, and I finally got a chance to play it over the last 2 weeks to see what the final product's going to be like, and I am having a lot of fun. I mean, I'm putting off playing other games, hanging out with people that I should be, or just leaving the office in general just to stay and explore the Overland map a little bit more. And I'm something like 12 hours into the game, and I have barely done, I mean, probably 30% of the core storyline. It's a lot of fun, and it's very involving, and I'm really excited to get all the way through it.
I'm much like you, Justin. I really had no D&D experience, and I have been gaming since, well, pre-teens when I had Pong, which I'm showing my age now.
Nice.
And
I'm right there with you. I was ponging it up back then too. So.
And I got Atari when it first came out, and that was just wow. You know, Atari was the groundbreaking gaming system of a lifetime, and now look at us. You know.
Well, we really like what we did with Storm is Here. I mean, it's no adventure for Atari 2600, but we tried our best.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it broke ground for all this wonderful stuff that comes out now. I have no D&D experience, though, but Neverwinter Nights is my first experience with D&D, and I have been glued ever since.
Nice. Well, so, we appreciate it.
And I'm real big fan of the community. I play player-made modules, everything I can get my hands on.
Awesome.
I really, really, truly enjoy them. Well, apparently I like the community, or I wouldn't be doing this. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I thank you very much for coming. I'm looking forward to reviewing the game. I did get a reviewer's code. Yay me.
Yay.
And I will be doing an audio review on Neverwinter Nights podcast after I get it played.
Very good.
And you guys have a great day.
You too. Thanks for having us.
I'll let you get back to work so you can work on the next masterpiece.
Perfect.
Thanks, thank Matthew.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
So that was enlightening.
That was a great interview.
This here, you got a quote you found from Grinnin' Fool.
Yes, he told me that the downloader code for Neverwinter Nights 2 was submitted to Obsidian and is currently being integrated.
Oh, and the crowd goes wild.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Because that's actually pretty good for PWs.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are going to put statues of Grinning Fool under OOC area, you know, for the downloading thing.
Good work needs to be acknowledged. Yeah. I don't have any problems with putting a statue in my OOC area for him. Of course, might have to explain it to my husband, but that's beside the point.
But you got that sword. That'll explain a lot, won't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's
right. He won't mess him with you. He won't question you.
I'm putting a statue here.
This is Grinning Fool.
To a man named Grinning Fool, you don't have a problem with that, do you, honey?
No.
who the hell's Grinning Fool? Sounds like some just sort of damn mongoloid Grinning Fool.
That sounds just like your husband, right? Skunk's really good at these voices. He's kind of like a psychic voice.
Wow, and who knew? Because I couldn't tell the difference.
Exactly. He's amazing that way.
Who the hell is this Grinning Fool?
Sound like my grandpa.
That was even better.
You also mentioned the... So you mentioned the Neverwinter Nights 1 D20 Modern Team update. They're 1.4.
Yes, Sam.
That's going to be cool.
They already have tons of new screenshots on the vault. And I like the alien placeables. Those look cool.
Dude, I told you I played on, Space Patrol Omega?
Yeah.
That was so fun. That was big guns and grenades and... all in Neverwinter Nights 1. It's pretty cool.
Pretty amazing what has been done from the community with different types of stuff for Neverwinter Nights 1. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
I want to see them have World War II stuff.
I think there's, not all at once, but there's guns and such. I don't know if there's a helmet or not.
I want to see, tanks and swastikas and all that. And no, I'm not a Nazi synthesizer. I want to do an Indiana Jones game someday.
Okay. Yeah, Indiana Jones stuff would be cool, like a big PBY flying around and stuff. That's the plane that lands in the water. That'd be pretty cool. Somebody has a ball that'll roll down, a big stone.
Yeah, they do. That's in CEP.
Yeah.
And D20 is compatible with CEP.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
That's from the circles I'm in. The D20 just doesn't seem to get enough play. I don't know if it's because of the big downloads, or I guess it's a little time in a day.
You don't really hear much of D20, to be honest, except for I know Katrina and I, we hang out at Neverwinter Connections a lot, and a lot of the folks there post a lot.
Yeah, it's a blast. And it's really polished, well-done stuff. Yeah. So,
but I still need the World War II stuff to be sold.
So you're not going to try it until they get the World War II stuff in, Skunk?
They got battle mechs.
I'll try something. I still like the medieval fantasy theme, though, a whole lot.
So do I. Actually, that's why I'm doing the Gamma World stuff. So take the medieval.
Oh dear, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah. Well, I started playing with Metamorphosis Alpha, which is the precursor to Gamma World, and that's always been near and dear to me. But I've gushed about that many a time, I think, haven't I? On the air.
I've listened to him chat about Gamma World, and I'll be like, I have no clue, but yeah, sounds cool. Really, it does.
It's totally cool. You get to play mutated people with radiating eyes, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we've had my tabletop has... Had a little run-in with some of the Gamma World stuff in our Forgotten Realms adventure, and wound up with extra legs and arms and strange things like that.
Yeah, it was at the start of the whole RPG thing, and they had some everything was table based, and you rolled up. Well, you could roll up a helpless character which had five legs and no head or something, but. But yeah, it was all random, and it's pretty funny stuff. Actually, the superhero type things remind me a little bit of Gamma World at times.
True.
I need a new table.
I'm showing my age.
Well, I think since all three of us know about Gamma World, I think it's probably safe to say that we're not teenagers anymore.
Skunk's a teenager.
Yeah, I am. I'm young. I might not sound like it, but I am.
You might never mind.
I'll go ahead and turn. Yeah. I mean, folks, check me out on the team page. I'm a skunk, a hunk of burning love.
Time to chain him up again.
Either that or take his beer can away from him. One or the other.
So who's Purple Puppy? That's the people that put up the screenshots.
Yeah.
Let's link to those in the show notes then.
Hell yeah.
The patch notes for 1.21, thanks to Rob McGinnis.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good, like they're on top of things for us. Folks, if you want some insight into their development, check here. And they removed all game spoilers, too. So,
yeah, check here in the show notes.
Yeah.
And any status, you found some status on Project Q, the, what's that, officially 1.7? Is that what is this Project Q?
You haven't heard of Project Q?
No, I've heard of Project Q.
You'd have Project Q? Quick, Skunk,
yes,
let's do that in unison. You haven't heard about Project Q?
But of course I've heard of Project Q. I was just naming it 1.7.
Ah.
But I guess that's Project Q.
Well, they're putting forth a module builders program.
Really? What's that going to be about?
It's where they want serious builders to work with some of the Project Q stuff by application, and you could work with some of the stuff that's under development with Project Q and build your modules with. Now, I think they want serious module builders. Well, folks, until next time,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.
Damn youngin, here's some beef. It's a musical fruit. Come on, boy. Check these beats out.
I'm all raw and exposed.
Once again, that falls under the TMI category label there, kiddo.
I've been here drinking and being a slob. Drinking and being a slob.
Oh, well, that was easy. Do you guys not get paid for this?
Raw and exposed.
TMI.
Drinking and being a slob.
Get back in there and build, damn it.
So what sort of balanced party do you plan to create with SOZ, Liso?
I plan to make, like, probably a fighter, because I dig fighters. They're just awesome. And then probably a cleric.
What about your squishies, Liso?
Yeah. Oh, I might have a squishy bard, you know, and a sorcerer, and...
You're going to die. She's going to kill you.